gentlemen, thank you so much for joining us for tonight's Comic Book Club. And now, heroes, Bela Page, Justin Teller, and Alex Zalbin.
Hey, what's up, everybody? Welcome to Comic Book Club. I'm Alex.
I'm Justin.
I am Pete.
And that's our man of the booth, Boothman. Guys, this has been a big week for comics.
Lots
of stuff happening.
It's true.
What news? There's so much stuff I can't even think of a single thing to talk about.
Just page after page. Oh, what? Really? That's
how, yeah, literally,
you're overloaded.
My mind is bowled over right now.
You need to unplug.
There was a bunch of comic books that came out.
Yep. Stacks.
And comic book stores were consistently open most of the week.
Uh-huh. Most, almost like 7 days probably.
That's all I got.
Wow, great.
This was a light comics week.
I actually bought a lot of comics this week.
You did?
Well, Memorial Day weekend, you're supposed to... The holiday, I think, is built around going home and reading comics.
Right, you have to remember to do that.
Yeah, that's hard.
Was that in poor taste?
Yes, it was.
Okay.
Yeah.
You can tell because the air just left the room.
Right. I don't know if you guys heard, but over the weekend, a graphic novel movie won the Palme d'Or at Cannes.
Whoa. Wow.
Yeah, The Avengers.
I don't know
won
if
the
that...
Palme d'Or...
At very progressive.
Can. No, it's Blue is My Favorite Color, I think that's the name of it. What?
Blue is the Warmest Color.
Yeah, no, I know, but what's the title of the movie?
Great stuff, guys.
Hey!
Great stuff, guys.
Stage. We got an act we're doing.
Nice. Well, that's part of a section of our show where we do French foreign film pun work.
Yeah. Followed by soft shoes.
Kind of, do you think this is a gateway into...
Drugs?
Yep.
Yeah. This show? Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know. There aren't a lot of superhero art films sort of so far.
Well, do you think there's a gateway towards more graphic novels being accepted, maybe made into more legit films?
Are graphic novels still outsider material? People just aren't developing enough graphic novels, I think, is the main issue.
I guess so. Well, on that note, guys, nice. I'm very excited about the show that we have tonight, and I'm very excited about our guests from the awesome, what would you call it, Art Collective Magazine? What? Thank you. Bumped it up. Harlequin Creature, ladies and gentlemen, Jade Fusco and Alex Farris!
Yeah! Please join us.
Come on up.
Join us, please. Yeah. Grab seats.
All right.
Grab seats. Lovely. Thank you so much for being on the show.
Guys, thank you so
thank
much
you
for being
having
here.
Us on the show.
All right. All right.
So, because I'm the worst, how would you describe Harlequin Creature?
Harlequin Creature is
an experience.
Experience, yes. Like a ride?
A literary magazine experience. Mm-hmm. I think one of the things that sets it apart is that it's completely handmade. So even though, I don't know about you, Jade, but my files that I submitted to it were like digital, but they turned them into beautifully detailed die-cut prints, is that what they're called?
Magnesium die-cuts.
Yeah. And
magnesium.
Megan and Ian hand-printed all of them on with like a really heavy ancient machinery and then hand-bound them, I'm guessing.
So why go that
is
route?
Also hand-typed
is the well. Idea to sort of turn it back a little bit, that everything is going so digital that you want to make it handmade, that you want to feel what you're making and putting yourself into it?
I think that that's probably one of the goals is to create something that feels authentic and original and can sort of inspire fantasy because it's mm-hmm. it feels like such a unique and specific object.
Yeah, and each issue was made by hand, so they're all different. So the one that you buy is, I mean, even the literary magazines that are made more of poetry and written word are hand-typed, every single one of them, and hand-signed by the person who typed it. So... It just each one is just its own object.
Well, what about what we were just talking about very awkwardly right at the top of the show mm-hmm. with graphic novels and comic books on the graphic form potentially getting a little more respect? Where do you guys stand on that? Do you think it
you're
is
all for it,
that
right?
Support it.
Yeah.
You support it.
Ooh, yes. That's good. Good
great.
Answer.
All the way.
Strong opinion. do you think it's moving more in a direction where the general public is accepting something like that?
Well... kind of complicated. I mean, you guys were talking about a graphic novel being turned into a film, and I think that a lot of people are getting introduced to graphic novels through films, which is not necessarily a bad thing, but I have caught myself a couple times like thinking when I'm reading graphic novel or something about what a great film I would make, and I used to be, like, I'm still a filmmaker, but I majored in film, but you know, I think it's important to remember it's its own thing. It doesn't that's not the, shouldn't be the eventual goal, you know?
Right, it doesn't right. have to be something else.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know. I just don't want it to get respect for being good film material.
Well, and the whole thing is, especially with something like what you guys are doing, it is, it's like, its uniqueness is sort of what you're giving to people because it is so handmade and so unique. It's like you have one of 50 or 100 of them. When a film is on the total opposite side of that spectrum where everyone has the same experience.
You don't have a personal experience when you go to the movie theater? Well, like, I saw Fast and the Furious 6 this weekend. Okay. And I felt like Vin Diesel was talking to me.
Well, he did say, Alexander Zalbin, let's ride.
That
which
was
is cool.
Specific.
That yeah. was very special. Yeah. I know that was a really expensive rewrite.
It cost a lot of money.
Film, but it's worth every penny.
Absolutely.
I just re-edit the films to be about me. When they come out on video, yeah, I take them, cut them up. I'm a classically trained actor.
When they come out on video?
Yeah, VHS.
Yeah.
You know what I'm talking about. I splice it together.
You tape it together.
And I put in, pull like little stills of me.
Yeah,
like from Facebook.
Real 8-track.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, I get it. Well, like we're talking about, it's very retro. It's time to go back and deal old forms. I'm doing a lot of just taking woodcuts and just flip like big flip books of woodcuts. So the
did you know they made the majority of Fast and the Furious 6 on woodcuts?
Yeah, it's expensive.
Magnesium die cuts, actually.
Yeah.
Oh.
Magnesium die cuts.
Yeah. Most expensive film ever made.
So
magnesium die cuts sounds like a great action movie, by the way. So I don't know if that's something you want to develop as a feature pitch.
Could you guys talk a little bit about what your contributions to Harlequin Creature... I keep saying Creature. Harlequin Creature...
Strong Q.
I hope you changed it to Q for you.
Yeah. Wait a second. This isn't Alex. It's two kids in an Alex costume.
Oh, jeez. So what are your contributions
two kids in the 20s,
to this
clearly.
Thing that you are working on like?
Great.
I contributed I turned 6 of my drawings into graphic shorts, I guess. Mm-hmm. I assembled them together to make a story where there wasn't a story before it, but I was inspired by, the criteria for the submission was submit, 3 graphic shorts, essentially, and I was like, well, I don't really have that, but I was inspired to kind of go back and develop a story amongst my drawings that I had drawn originally for this coloring book called Damsel's First Coloring Book. Mm. And so that's where the drawings come from. They're creatures from my imaginary world called Damsel.
Nice.
And they're, yeah.
Yeah, where did, very quickly, where did Damsel come from?
Damsel really came out of thin air. Just the four letters came to me, DMZL, like a few years ago. I think I was trying to come up with like a tag name because I wanted to start like doing graffiti and tagging everywhere. So so it came first as like that kind of moniker.
Very quickly, we should mention we're cops.
Yeah. It doesn't seem obvious, but we are 3 cops. They parted up the 3 of us because they figured, well, 2 of them isn't enough. Those 3 idiots. Anyway.
So Damsel. And what about your contributions?
So wait, have you tagged a lot? Have you become a... Did you
no, not really. I never really got there. Then it kind of turned into like a nom de plume, and then I just started signing everything as Damsel, but I still kind of want to start... I mean, I started doing some street art, but in a legal context, like slow-going murals.
Ah.
Start doing a like tag around here. Just start spray painting, DMZL on Alex's face or something.
Yeah. Right.
Okay.
Good.
Yeah. I won't tag bust you.
Nice. Great. He's the undercover member of our team. Yeah, great. I'm definitely the boss cop.
And
the chief is what they call me.
What about your contribution to the book I can't say?
Harlequin Creature.
Harlequin Creature. Great. I really can't. All right.
My contribution is a short autobiographical story about when I was a child, I thought my entire family were aliens except for me. And specifically, it's a short story about a specific technique I used to try to cope with that situation. When I was writing it, I kind of thought of it would be this like sweet, relatable story, but the response has mostly been like, wow, you were really crazy when you were a child. Kind of more concerned, but see what you think.
So what was it like seeing your stuff in print for this?
Really awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's so beautiful. It's like they print it on really heavy cardboard, so it's like very almost three-dimensional. It is kind of three-dimensional. It's like embossed almost.
That's the magnesium.
Yes.
There you go.
Yes, the magnesium just...
If somebody wanted to pick this up, where would they go? What would they? How would they check it out?
HarlequinCreature.org. Mm-hmm. Yes, I think it's available through an Etsy shop and...
Some retailers
in New York.
Nice.
Namely, Mellow Pages and... Own St. Mark's Bookstore.
Oh, yeah.
McNally Jackson.
McNally Jackson. That... A guy?
Yeah. Don't point at me. I'm barely a guy.
McNally Jackson.
I would like to go back to the Zalian story, if we could. I'm not trying to crack something open here and talk about if you are weird or not, but you seem like a normal person.
Nice.
Was there something specific that your parents did or said that made you think, like, oh, my God, I'm an alien and
they're
all aliens and I'm the only human?
Yeah, I actually do go into that a little bit in the comic.
All right, I don't want to ruin it, but give us a little tease.
Sorry.
And I want to mention Pete has a weirded out tone, but right now he's wearing Punisher slippers, which is a fantasy character who likes to kill people for fun.
Yeah,
yep. So, sure.
Great.
A little backstory.
Way to get down to the content, the core matter.
Thank you. I did think I had evidence, but... maybe unsurprisingly, no, it was not a logical conclusion that I came to. Okay.
So just tell us, were they aliens or not? Jeez.
God. Read the book.
Unknown.
It's still an open-ended case. You know what? It's a cold case. And those SR, we specialize in cold cases.
Yeah, the three bosses.
The three. No, there's one boss. There's no three bosses.
They call us the three bosses.
No one would ever call
us that. We get it
that.
Done. Yep. Three bosses.
Great. It's a movie we're working on. We're in the very early stages.
Yeah. Yeah. If you want to check out more on the three bosses, head to harlequincreature.org. It's very similar.
And some retailers in New York will also can be found there.
Great. Guys, we're going to move on to the next section of our show, which we like to call The Stack.
Yeah.
Yay. Yeah. So in The Stack, we're going to talk about some comic books that came out this week that we particularly liked and go to bat for them. First one is Pete's pick, which is Five Ghosts, number 3.
Woo.
Yep.
Of 5?
3 of 5.
3 of 5.
Oh, great.
We're getting close
to
it.
So, Pete, do you want to talk about this book a little bit?
Oh, man, do I. So, Five Ghosts, unlike Five Guys, which is good food, good eating.
Great.
This here is one man.
Yeah, how did this comic book taste, Pete?
Delicious. No, you don't eat comics. So, this is about one man who's possessed by 5 different ghosts, and sometimes he has a hard time controlling them. But here we're getting some backstory on the kind of secret place that they've broken into.
Shangri-La.
What I love about this comic is not only is it very artistic and the panels are really cool, but it's like the writing and the art make a magical world, and I love the last kind of page reveal, and I just thought it was really perfect. I mean, spoiler, but like giant dragons, yes please, more.
What?
Yeah,
giant dragons, yes please.
Oh, okay, I don't know why I didn't get that.
It's on his checklist. Well, he's said it in a little bit of a weird way.
What did you think about this book, Justin?
I like it. It's very classic. It sort of reminds me of like Prince Valiant comics from the Funny Pages.
Ooh.
It has that same sort of feel. There's, in fact, nothing really modern about it. I think that's why it's doing so well. It's very specific in its voice and very retro in the way the story's told. But I like it. It's interesting. It's different.
Zombies with hoop earrings.
Yeah. That's how you can tell they're zombies, because their fashion is a little bit dated. In that way, a lot of the people on this panel are zombies. I'm speaking about us.
All right, there we go. Let's move on with Justin's pick, which we like to call Green Lantern number 20.
Yeah, we do like to call it that.
Yep, we like to call it that. So this is the end of Geoff Johns' run on Green Lantern after 10 years. Best-selling run, redefined the entire Green Lantern part of the DC Universe. What did you think about this book, Justin?
Well, it's funny. This has been a book that I've loved for a long time. And then since the New 52, it seems like It's gotten a little... there's not as much heart to it, I think, or something. So this last arc has been a little bit... it hasn't been my favorite, but it was nice to see sort of Geoff Johns, his whole... They looked at all the different things he did. He added all these different colored heroes to the thing. Like, there's the indigo people.
Sounds like me.
Huh?
I'm sorry.
What? Oh, because I... Yeah. Okay, great. And there's the oranges of greed, and he built out the whole spectrum, and then he brings it to a close in a nice way and gets to tell the future of the characters you've loved so much. It's nice. The one thing I thought was weird about it, you get to see all of the people who've been a fan of this, like creators, put like great job to Geoff Johns in the book, and like as like little ads almost.
Yep.
I thought that was a little congratulatory to hear about that before we've even finished reading the story.
Yeah. Pete, what'd you think about it?
Well, this is a huge issue. I really liked how much was put into this. You could tell it was kind of heartfelt, and I feel like because as you were going, I thought it was kind of a nice, like, oh, this is really big deal because I'm reading about, like, Neil Gaiman being like, hey, this is cool. You're doing awesome. So that kind of kept me motivated to keep reading.
Otherwise, you would have...
Otherwise, I would have been like, yeah.
For lack of a better term, you were sort of petering out.
No, that's a horrible phrase.
I didn't actually know what you were talking about because I got it digitally. And in the digital version, they put all the thank yous at the end.
Stuck them in the middle here. Weird. Welcome back to Earth. Alex, get out of the digital. Get out of the cloud.
But yeah, I felt like when it wasn't recapping and was moving forward, it was really powerful. And then it was like there was a weird friend moment.
Weird friend, Sinestro. This is a lot about Sinestro and Hal's relationship, and there was a nice moment where they were like, "Well, we're always going to be friends."
Yeah, I thought this was okay. I felt like there was a lot of stuff that went on in here, but it was very plotty. And not particularly character-driven. The biggest bummer for me with Geoff Johns' run on Green Lantern is he set up this really beautiful stuff about Hal Jordan's relationship with his dad. And his dad died before he really got to know him. That drove him to become a Green Lantern. That gave him the will. He always wanted to live up to his father's memory. And we get a little bit of a touch of that finally in this issue. But it feels kind of perfunctory to me. I didn't feel like there was a lot of emotional depth going on here, and there's just a lot of big fights. I mean, it was Doug Mankey who did all of the art for this, right? He draws the crap out of it. He draws some awesome superhero stuff, and he draws great Green Lanterns, but it's a lot of greatest hits things. I'm also not crazy about the idea, this is going to sound so crazy nerdy, but when you take a big bad villain who's been this like universe-spanning threat, and then you make him into a henchman, I'm never a big fan of that. And I feel like Geoff Johns does that a lot. And in this issue, they pull out Parallax and Necron and a bunch of other people that he's pulled out as these are the people that could destroy the whole universe. And suddenly they're just easily disposed.
Yeah. There's one point Hal Jordan calls back Necron because he's a Black Lantern. And he's like, Necron come. And Necron comes and kills this guy. And then Hal's like, all right, see you later. And Necron's like, I'll go back to my prison. No problem. And it's sort of like, oh, wow, that seems so hard during the Black Lantern saga to beat him.
Now it was easy.
Now it's just like, lip, bing, good night.
I feel like he's done the same thing with Parallax a couple of times, too, where Parallax was supposed to be built up as this overwhelming evil. And then suddenly he was like, ah, you're good.
Now, let me ask you guys, did any of that make any sense?
Yes.
Great.
Ah, awesome.
Do you? I mean, I know. Maybe you aren't a regular reader of the Green Lantern, but what did you think of just flipping through this?
I mean, the illustrations. There's a lot of electrical fountain webs.
See, you get it.
That's correct.
Yeah.
There's a lot of the shooting light and soaring through space.
So you loved it.
This isn't a quiz. You were doing well. That is correct.
Cool. Why don't we move on with our last pick? This is my pick. The Unwritten number 49 from Vertigo.
Yeah.
I love the series. For those of you who aren't reading it, very briefly, it's about stories. Like I feel like a lot of Vertigo series are. They're stories commenting on stories. But
stories on stories.
This has grown exponentially in its mythology. It's a little complicated to explain right now, but the main character, Tommy Taylor, who started out is sort of almost a proto-Harry Potter.
Almost exactly.
Figure, almost exactly. Has grown into this epic hero, the center of all stories. He's trying to save the world that has essentially lost its stories, so it's lost all of its brightness, all of its flavor. And so he's headed to the underworld to rescue his love and hopefully restore stories. Here, he's fighting his destiny. He eventually accepts his destiny. And mm-hmm. just as he accepts his destiny in the Orpheus myth, there's a twist at the end that I loved.
Yeah, it's great.
Can I talk about
that? Yeah, I think you should.
Sure. So they even announced this, and I completely forgot, but they're having a crossover. He gets sucked into the world of Fables, which is the other series from Vertigo that's all stories about stories.
Yeah.
So it makes total sense. It's just, I don't know. I'm excited to see where it goes next.
It's cool. It's done really organically here, and it makes a ton of sense. And I'm surprised it's like the next issue for Unwritten is its 50th issue. And yeah. they're doing it as a crossover, which I thought was...
Yeah, but it's so fun. And the thing that I think is so great about it is Mike Carey is such a smart writer, and Bill Willingham is such a smart writer, that I feel like they'll make it matter for both titles, that it's not just going to be, hey, we're both about stories, let's mix it up.
Let's boost our sales like a bunch of jerks.
Yeah, hey.
That's a perfect impression of those two great writers.
Hey, I'm Mike Carey. I'm from Britain.
Oh, I was also doing Mike Carey.
Oh, are you?
That's a conversation between two of Mike Carey.
What if Mike Carey talked to Mike Carey? Well, what happened?
Carry on. What did you guys think from flipping through this?
Well, both Unwritten and Fables I'm familiar with only because they have really famous cover artists that are also illustrators.
Mm-hmm.
Why is that?
Because they're cool?
I don't know. I think that has a lot to do with Karen Berger, I think it's because of Karen Berger, who used to be the editor of Vertigo. I don't know if this is 100% true, but she's really good at grabbing talent. And I think she probably pushed to get really good cover artists on that.
And it became sort of their thing for Fables first, because it's been around longer. But that was like, it won so many awards for that, and I think sort of boosted the book up out of just being a regular Vertigo title. So I figured that's why Unwritten did sort of follow the same path.
Yeah, I kind of wish they'd do that more, just because like it's just such a different perspective. I feel like it adds like such a different layer to the story to have.
Yeah,
it definitely totally makes you want to grab that book more than others.
Yeah, mm-hmm. yeah.
You can judge a book by its cover.
There you go. All right, and that's it for the stack.
Woo! Yeah.
Okay. Guys, we're going to move on with our next section, which is my favorite section because you guys make it up. It's your audience questions. And for that, we're going to go over to Boothman.
Boothman.
So, Boothman, hit us with some spicy questions.
Spicy?
Sure. Yeah. Why not?
Okay. Muy caliente.
Could be spicy.
I don't know if any of these are spicy. They're sweet.
Aww. Okay, great.
Just like me. First question. What's up with the Quicksilver Scarlet Witch movie, right?
Oh, nice.
Oh, boy. Ooh. All right. So for those of you who don't know about this little bit of news, Joss Whedon announced that he was going to bring Quicksilver and Scarlet Witch, two mutants, two Avengers, into Avengers 2. He's still working on the script, so it's not 100% definite that would happen, but that was the idea. He went around talking about this a little bit.
Yeah.
Days after that happened, Bryan Singer, who's currently directing X-Men Days of Future Past, announced on Twitter, very excited, that Quicksilver is going to be in Days of Future Past.
Uh-oh.
And these are two different companies. Fox produces the X-Men movies. Marvel/Disney produces the Avengers movies. So there's clearly some sort of rights battle going on here. The weird thing is they both actually have the rights to the characters.
Yeah.
Because...
What?
Yeah, they do.
He's an X-Man and an Avenger.
He's an X-Man and an Avenger. So in the Avengers movie, they can use Quicksilver as long as they never refer to mutants or Magneto. And in X-Men movie, they can use Quicksilver as long as they never refer to the Avengers or him being a superhero.
Oh, man. If they don't at least refer to Magneto, I'm going to be so mad. Ooh.
Well, what do you guys think? Did you guys see Avengers? Do you have any thoughts?
Yes.
On Avengers?
I'm a... big Joss Whedon fan, so I'm biased.
Yeah.
So you can like it. You're in good company.
But I feel like he'll do a better job.
Probably, right?
Super
That's fair.
Bryan Singer said we wanted to use Quicksilver because we needed a guy who could run fast.
Yeah, see, that makes him sound like more of a jerk.
Yeah,
anyone can run fast.
Yeah,
regular people can run fast.
Pete, how fast can you run?
I don't run very fast.
You just lost out on a major role.
Oh.
A role of a lifetime.
Damn it.
Slow silver.
I do have bullets that shoot knives, though, so that works.
Bullets that shoot knives?
So I don't have to run
out of
fast.
A gun or just holding them?
I hold them and then throw them.
That's just a knife, I think.
Oh.
You're thinking of just a knife.
Oh, damn. All right.
That's a very unrelated.
Cutlery man.
Yeah. Sort of cutlery.
I don't need to run.
Yeah, you don't need to run because you can just sit and throw.
I can just throw things, yeah.
Great. Well, I guess maybe Brian Singer will want to jump on that.
Wait, I don't think that I was a good... Do you guys want to address that more?
No, I'm sorry. We don't have time. You addressed it, and that's all the time we have. Everyone's going to lose their minds. It's true. Everyone wants Joss Whedon to do what he wants above Brian Singer. Brian Singer's made mistakes. Joss Whedon sort of hasn't. Honestly, why is that funny? Because
are you laughing at me? Don't laugh.
In the superhero movie context, Singer blew it with a couple movies.
Do not laugh at me.
Wait, where did Singer blow? Was Superman Returns you're talking about?
Superman Returns?
Superman Returns, Jack and the Giant Slayer.
That doesn't count.
I mean, no one was. Whose hopes were high?
Wasn't X-Two considered the best?
X-Two was pretty good.
Up until the end, where they were running through a bunch of hallways and then they killed a guy with a waterfall.
Oh, man.
Waterfalls are dangerous. You shouldn't chase them.
Go chasing waterfalls? Was that the...
Yep.
Great job, guys.
Thanks. That's actually how we got assigned to the Force together.
When you say the Force, my third thought is cops. One of them is Star Wars. The other one is just just talking. And then the third one, I'm like, oh, he's talking about the Force. You know, cops.
Oh, yeah.
Great stuff. Joss Whedon said that he wanted to add Quicksilver and Scarlet Witch because he felt like the Avengers movie was all about punching people. And these people can do other things.
Yeah, like Quicksilver can punch people real fast.
Yeah, exactly.
Very different.
I thought that was such a funny... That's not that much better than what Bryan Singer said.
Sure.
Like, we wanted someone that shot stuff besides bullets. So we got Scarlet Witch. And Bryan Singer's like, run fast.
Do you get the sense that most of these directors are like 5 seconds away from falling asleep?
Yeah, right. Well, I imagine they have to answer the same questions thousands of times. So they're probably just like, what do you want to know? Yes, it's magic. God, just go do something else.
There you go. Raise your hand if you ask that. You're going to get some free comics. Let's get the next question, please.
Do you imagine specific voices for any comic book characters, or do they all sound like you in your head?
Well, for a comic character, Mike Carey, I think we have this.
Oh, we just mastered that. I hope that character comes to light.
Yeah. I don't know. What characters? Who asked that?
Who asked that?
Yeah,
nice.
Any particular characters?
Punisher?
Punisher kind of talks like this, I guess.
Really breathy.
Yeah.
Really breathy. Batman. So every like male superhero sounds like...
I'm Mr. Fantastic.
Gravel voice.
I would have to say it really depends on
it's
the character.
It's me, Big Wheel. Cypher?
Really depends on, like, if I'm reading Batman, Kevin Conroy's doing the voice in my head.
Really?
Like, yeah. It depends on what I'm reading.
I guess I don't really have voices in my head when I'm reading comics.
Really?
I really don't. I'm just listening.
You don't have the voices telling you to kill people?
Yeah, I would think a classically trained actor would have... The voice is down.
I mean, when I read a comic, let me just show you. Here's how it goes. Like, I'll open up Deadpool, and I'll just be like, stop wriggling.
That was Deadpool.
Hey, Spidey, I got to borrow something.
Absolutely not.
This is the worst.
Well, because I am a classically
No, God, it must take you forever to
I'll return it next time I see you.
You're still on the first
sweetie.
Panel.
The second panel.
Oh, man.
Well, you got to obey the punctuation. As Shakespeare said... do not leave.
Shakespeare said that?
No, Deadpool said that. Oh, but okay. Shakespeare said, fit the action to the word and the word to the action.
When you guys are reading stuff, do you hear the voices in your head? Do you hear...
Great.
I read out loud, too.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. So I hear the voices outside.
There you go.
I hear them outside. They just go out here, and then they go right back in here. Then it's all happening.
I think you're watching TV. All right, raise your hand if you ask that. You're going to get some free comics. Let's get the next question.
What hero, not villain, would make the most embarrassing parent?
Most embarrassing parent hero.
Oh, that's a good one.
Yeah.
I like that.
I've never been asked that before.
Do you guys have any thoughts? Any heroes? Could be American heroes. Abraham Lincoln.
Yep. Great. Yeah. Great.
Classic.
Great idea. It's time for you to potty train, says Hulk.
Oh, I thought that was Abraham Lincoln.
We need to work on our voices, just in general.
Sure.
I think that's the lesson of today's
show. Come to my class. I'll teach you guys real good.
Yeah.
Hey.
I would think Batman would be tough just because he's such a good detective. You couldn't fool him with anything.
Also, you die.
His kid just died. So yeah. That's all the another time. Thing. Hulk smash you if you don't get better grades.
This was who would be a terrible parent as a superhero?
Embarrassing parent.
I think Spider-Man would probably be embarrassing.
Spider-Man.
Because he'd be like shooting his web at all your friends all the time.
why would he be doing that?
She's friends with a lot of criminals.
Like, hey, kids, whip, whip, whip.
I imagine you would think it's really funny. Like, oh, I got your shirt.
You know, it's funny. Before I thought her parents were maybe weirder, but now I think yours were probably weirder.
I would just be like, I got your shirt. I'm under ceiling. Good night. I'm up here.
I got your shirt. I got your shirt, you kid. Just having fun on the weekend at home with the neighborhood kids. Don't look at me.
Great. Any opinions?
Embarrassing parents.
Embarrassing
comic
parents.
Book heroes.
Nope.
I feel like pretty much any one of them is ripe for embarrassment.
Yeah. I mean, aren't all people embarrassing?
There you go. Raise your hand if you ask that. You're going to get some free comics. And that's it for your audience questions. Thank you, Boothman.
Thank you, Boothman.
All right, guys. We're going to move on with our next section, which we like to call the Week in Geek. Woo-hoo. Hooray. In the Week in Geek, we're going to talk about some geek culture topics, things happening elsewhere in the world of geek. First thing to talk about, a couple of months ago when Iron Man 3 was coming out, I came to you guys with some exciting news.
Yeah.
I had read the Iron Man 3 junior novelization.
Oh, God.
Right?
The junior novel. And got some really exciting spoilers about Iron Man 3. Well, I'm back.
Oh, great.
I've read, over the weekend, I was hanging out at a couple of kids' bookstores, and I found the Man of Steel junior novelization, which actually doesn't adapt the entire movie. It's just the early years of Superman.
That makes sense.
But I thought maybe we could talk about that a little
bit. Sure, great.
Well, as long as you're not going to read again.
I didn't get it on
the
read
list. I'm not going to read again. But you guys excited for Man of Steel? You're going to check out the Superman movie?
Yeah.
I love how you said that all defensive.
I don't believe
so
you.
So what if I am?
You better bring us the ticket stub because I don't believe you
it's
for a
personalized.
Second.
Yeah. They personalized it for you, so you've got to go.
I'm going.
All right. I spent a lot of money to do that.
Yeah, it's expensive. Jade, come fly with me.
So a couple of things from Man of Steel that we've been discussing the past couple of months on the show. First of all, turns out, at least according to the junior novelization, Krypton will be destroyed. So that was kind of a question. I'm glad that we're excited about something that should have happened anyway and is... We've seen a million times.
Yeah, well,
but
I mean,
it's true,
it may
right?
be. Yeah, well, I mean, it is something that I feel if they don't destroy it, it's going to be sort of controversial.
Right.
And, you know, there's nothing more controversial than the young adult adaptations of blockbuster movies.
Yes. So there was that. So I thought that was kind of cool. Another thing, Clark has a little bit of a problem breathing when he gets to Earth.
Okay.
When he's a kid. And because he's not quite assimilated to our atmosphere. He has asthma.
Wow.
He's not quite assimilated to our atmosphere. So you know how in the trailer the Kryptonians are wearing those sort of space jockey helmets?
Yeah.
Yeah, so I think that's probably why. They have a hard time breathing on Earth.
Well, there's a lot of oxygen here.
Right. They're going to have a lot of wheezing going on.
Great. That's what I've been looking for in my films. Just more wheezy actors.
Yep.
Tired. So that plays into his, childhood, you're saying?
Just a little bit. I mean, most of it, the thing that I thought was most interesting about it, and I don't know if this is the writer or if this will end up being the movie, it's not that it explicitly takes place in the continuity of Smallville, the TV show.
Right.
But it seems a lot closer to that than it does to the comic books.
Oh, that's exciting for a couple people.
Yep. But it does feel like it fits in with that world a little bit, which I thought was kind of interesting. Makes a lot of sense. Probably more people watch Smallville than read comic books.
Is that true?
Probably, right?
Oh, God. I've never seen one episode of Smallville.
The three of us read comic books, and that's pretty much it.
Yep.
Yep.
So definitely. There's got to be more people that watch Smallville. At least four.
We're the only three left, man.
We are.
They should have more shout-outs to us in these things, then.
They should.
We should be whole characters in these little guys.
Oh, my God.
Three bosses.
Yeah, three bosses.
Three bosses.
But yeah, we should at least have our own title. We've done all the hard work. We came up with the name and some of the action.
Oh, my God.
We solved cold cases.
Now you just need the ladies.
Yeah. Oh. Okay. Oh, would you guys like to...
hey!
Not to look at the first women we've seen since we came up with this idea, but... Hey, would you guys be interested in going
ladies,
steady with us in the comic book
world? Can I give you
some
advice? Don't get involved with them.
They're
chief.
So in charge.
Yeah. Boothman,
we're
yeah.
the bosses.
He's a terrible wingman.
He's also a boss.
Yeah.
Next thing to talk about, another little bit of news. So apparently, the most confusing news I've read about Marvel movies recently, John C. Reilly is going to be potentially playing a character in Guardians of the Galaxy that is like the... Agent Phil Coulson, except for Guardians of the Galaxy, is what he's been described as.
That's great. Right. I think he's someone who goes into space, and they say he's going to be the human in space.
Right.
Which doesn't make a lot of sense.
Sure, it doesn't make a lot of sense. I don't know why you would necessarily do that. Also, they're like, the reason they describe as the Phil Coulson is they said he's going to be in all of the Guardians movies.
Yeah, I thought that was weird, too.
That's a little weird, right?
Yeah.
Because there's only one of them so far.
Right.
And not even one.
Not even one. That's a long ways off.
Yeah. Well, what do you think? Do you want to see John C. Reilly be the Phil Coulson of the Guardians movies?
I think that sounds like a great idea, but what about the Phil Coulson that we know?
Right.
Why can't he
and
do
love.
It?
He could be the Phil Coulson of the Guardians movies.
Well, technically, I guess he died in Avengers.
But he's coming back to life in Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
Right.
So does that mean John C. Reilly's going to die and then come back to life?
Well, that's a weird logical leap, but Pete, technically, we're all going to die.
Yeah.
What?
Oh, right. Don't oh, we should have said. Pete. Pete's never confronted his own mortality before. This is for a man who loves...
You guys, tune in next week for the funeral of Pete LePage.
Pete dies at
resurrection.
The
resurrection.
Pete dies at the end. What's that?
Followed by his resurrection.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, there we go.
Oh, yeah, he is a Christ figure. And I'm glad you picked up on that so quickly.
I am a boss.
Of all of us, he is the most Christy. Yeah.
No, I think she's picking up the metatextual essence of the show.
Oh, we have so much metatextual context.
Hey, guys, that's it for the Week of Geek.
Yeah, all right.
Yeah. All right, we are going to move on with our next section, which is trivia. And for that, we're going to turn it over to Pete. The late Pete LePage.
Oh, the late Pete
his
LePage.
Last will and testament.
All right, guys. This is the part we give back to you, the lovely audience. Thank you so much for showing up. It's an opportunity to win $25 free in the form of a gift card to Midtown Comics, because that's where you would spend $25. Who would like a chance to win $25? Simple raising of the hand. A simple
literally
raising
have to walk on stage
of the
hand.
Yes, you first hand up guy.
Yeah.
Come on up here. Sir, brave soul, what is your name?
My name is Zach.
Zach, audience Zach. Zach, welcome to the show. Thanks for coming out. How this is going to work is I'm going to read you a question. Listen to all three possible answers. Get all three questions right, $25 yours.
Cool.
All right, here we go. Well, first of all, this week's trivia is on comics that came out this week.
Okay.
So hopefully you've read them all. Then you won't have any problems with this.
Yeah, I spend $300 a week.
I know I do.
That's all?
All right, here we go. Question number one. In Daredevil number 26, did you read it?
Yes, I did.
Oh, all right.
It was a good one.
Hot shot.
Who is the big reveal as the villain mastermind? Is it A, Bullseye, B, Kingpin, or C, Skeletor?
Now be careful. There's a major spoiler here if you do reveal the answer of this on
right.
microphone.
I mean, you've had 6 days to read the comic.
Okay.
All right.
Great point, Pete.
And one was
sorry, everybody.
Yeah, you got an extra.
And can I add Benedict Cumberbatch's Khan?
Oh.
That's fucked up.
So is it
Bullseye?
Bullseye is correct, sir. Congratulations.
Nice. Or is it? Read the comic to find out.
Yeah. Question number two. In Talon number 8. Did you read that? No. Oh, God. We have a crossover event with who? Is it A, Green Arrow, B, Birds of Prey, pick that one, or is it C, Pinky and the Brain?
B, Birds of Prey.
Yes, that is correct. Birds of Prey
nice.
Is correct. All right, here we go. Last question. In Bounce number 1.
Oh, I didn't read that.
Ooh, okay. Here we go.
Flip through it.
We see a combination of superhero and blank. Is it A, Pothead,
B, skinhead, or is it C, death's head?
I did first frame pothead.
Pothead is correct, yes. Congratulations, sir. You're going to win $25 free. Come see me after the show.
Superhero and skinhead. What a combo.
Awesome. Guys, as we all know, tomorrow is New Comic Book Day. We recommend you go to Midtown Comics because they've been nice enough to sponsor the show. Pete, what are you looking forward to?
I am looking forward to Fury Max number 12.
Nice.
Garth Ennis is writing this book. He's doing an amazing job.
Cool.
It's Justin. Creepy.
Great.
Justin, what about you?
Looking forward to X-Men number 1, Brian Woods' new X-Men book.
Ooh,
I really
love
like
Brian
him.
Wood.
Yeah, he's got a great team of characters on that book. Looking forward to seeing what's going on.
There you go. I'm looking forward to The Wake number 1 is coming out from Vertigo. This is a new title from Scott Snyder and Sean Murphy. Sean Murphy.
Very.
Right. There you go.
Yeah, I saw the previews for it. It looks
amazing.
Some sort
of underwater mystery thing, but I don't really care because Scott Snyder is amazing and Sean Murphy is amazing.
Yeah.
So I'm kind of willing to follow them everywhere.
Yep.
Everywhere.
I'm going to follow them everywhere.
Cool. What about you guys? What are you looking forward to?
I have been waiting years for My Little Pony Friendship is Magic to come out.
Nice.
Wait to see what happens in issue number 2.
There you
just
go.
How magical things will get.
The reveal is that it's not friendship is not magical.
What?
What?
Yeah. Sorry, I didn't mean to spoil it.
Oh, man.
You
her
did.
Face yeah, oh, was no, amazing.
By the way, as a little side note, have you guys seen this Equestria Girls thing that they did? Yeah, okay,
no.
Booth Man, see this.
That sounds offensive.
It's the creepiest thing I've ever seen. It's an actual My Little Pony thing where they decided, hey, what if the ponies were actually teen girls and
like,
the same...
What if we sexualize this, basically?
Yeah, well, how do we sexualize ponies? And so they just took away their horse noses and still gave them wings and colors and, like, the little tramp stamps and whatever else. And it's all them eating apples. That's it.
What?
It's the strangest. I am not joking.
Where is this thing?
This is a cartoon that the makers of My Little Pony have made.
That is on TV?
I don't know.
Do they have ponytails?
Probably.
Now you would think. That would be when.
They probably
do. So wait, it's like a horse body with like a hot girl head.
It's like a girl
like
that's
centaurs.
almost a horse.
Almost a horse.
That if you're like,
does
I don't quite want to have sex
cloven?
With a horse, but I'm interested.
Does she stand? great line for the fans out there.
That was.
I'm not
for my
quite
brodies.
A horse.
Wait, do they stand up or are they?
Yeah, they stand like up, but for some reason they still eat apples with no hands.
But they have hooves?
No, they have hands.
Oh, they eat the apples without using their hands.
Yeah.
This sounds like.
Is
someone
this a
with
dream?
An extremely specific fetish was like put in the situation of a lifetime, like the opportunity of a lifetime to like share this.
Oh,
with the
world. What a dream come true! Oh, we should say we're the executive producers of that show.
It's from three bosses.
Yeah. Oh man, there goes our brand.
Stay tuned. There goes our brand. We finally damaged our brand on this show.
And do you guys want to plug anything? Plug. Harlequin Creature.
You're really nailing
yes.
it, Alex.
Yes. Harlequin Creature. I also have a website for my personal work. It's alexbaron.com. And coming up in July, I'm doing a Choose Your Own Comic adventure at the Soho Digital Gallery. It's like
Ooh.
An interactive show. So
cool.
If people want to come to that, I think it's going to be really fun. And there's like a bunch of different comic artists that are involved.
Oh, awesome.
Awesome.
Sweet.
Is it the sort of thing that you can just like flip through and order in the pages like I used to do with Choose Your Own Adventure or...
Wait, you wouldn't choose your own adventure?
You just like flip through when you get bored.
What?
We are definitely going to take steps to prevent people like
cheaters.
You.
You're a cheater.
All right.
The fun.
I'm not
also,
interested.
That takes away the whole fun. Read a regular book.
I think you
regular
can
walk
around the gallery to see the
Yeah,
story.
It's in, yeah. in order.
All right.
Okay. You're not going to go I'll to the gallery out. And then read a comic and not interact with anything.
Yeah, get out and see the world, Alex.
No thanks.
Choose your own
down.
Life.
Oh. Ed, would you like to plug anything in particular?
Yes, please. I have, I have a website. It's thedmzl.com. But also this weekend, May 31st through June 2nd, it's Bushwick Open Studios, which is in Bushwick, Brooklyn. It's a neighborhood-wide festival. I guess,
Sweet.
Like arts and music festival, because there's many galleries and venues and artists who have studios in the neighborhood, so everybody just kind of opens their doors and like puts on events or does shows or, you know, they have special exhibitions. And it's really, really fun. And I've been building this chariot for my bicycle. And I'm going to be carting around a couple of my friends, and we're going to be singing jingles that we wrote and selling coloring books and matchboxes and these other little glyphs from my glyph alphabet.
Sweet. That's cool.
The language of damsel.
What's the name of your cart?
My cart?
Yeah.
It's the damsel chariot.
Nice.
Yeah. Or it was a goodie sleigh at one point. It's also like a fantastic float.
Wow, you have a lot of names.
I don't know. It's very, I don't know. I've never done anything like this before, so it'll be great. So you should come.
Yeah, it sounds awesome.
All right. There we go. A couple of things before we go. Next week on the show, Daryl Freemark from The Devil Is Due in Dreary is going to be here, so that should be pretty exciting.
Movie producer.
We want to thank our fabulous interns, Eamon Bell, Brandon Dannenhofer, Tomer Dar, Craig Fletcher, David McKay, Patty Tenicella, and Riley Traham. Pete?
Friend us on Facebook so you get to hear about all the amazing guests we have on the show. Check out the Big City Dare to Draw.
Follow us on Twitter at Comic Book Live.
Check us out at comicbookclublive.com and nerdist.com for the podcast and more. A couple of people we want to thank before we go. We want to thank Jade and Alex for being on the show.
Yeah!
Toothmen! But most of all, we want to thank you guys. We're here every Tuesday night at 7 p.m. at Fontana's in New York. Totally free. Please tell your friends. Good night!
Thank you,
thanks,
guys!
Thanks, everybody! 1, 2, 3.